Hey friends, you're tuning into Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing so well. We are in for a treat today. Let me tell you, I got to sit down and talk with my friend, Pastor Bree Dupree, and we have such an amazing conversation about what it means to have emotionally healthy spirituality. And Bree is somebody that I met a few years ago and just has become a friend and even a mentor. We are the same age, and I really look up to her because she has so much wisdom, insight, knowledge. She is a lover of studying, which I just love. She's a pastor, an entrepreneur. She's a leader. She has her ministry called Bree Dupree Ministries, and she is currently a pastor at Embrace Church. And let me tell you, if there's a voice that you should be listening to and spending time letting it influence you, Bree is somebody who I recommend you follow. So let's get into it. I hope you enjoy today's conversation, and I hope it just blesses you and you learn a lot like I did. All right. Well, Bree, thank you so much for doing this with me. I'm excited. Cool. Bree and I, I met her through one of her best friends and somebody I am just so blessed to know, Bishop Darris Sneed.
Yes.
And I knew about you, obviously, just because, I mean, he talked about you and posts about you all the time, because I know you guys are like lifelong friends.
Yes.
And so it was an interesting way that I got to encounter you was right in 2020.
Yes.
And you started a discipleship course.
Yes.
And for me, I was like, yes, it like 2020 hit. We were in the pandemic,
right,
and nobody knew what was going on. And you posted about doing a discipleship class, and I was like, Jesus,
yes,
this is what I think.
Come on,
I think in 2020 I took like 8 different courses and classes and like things that people were hosting, because I just was like, I have to guard my mind right now, because I want to go off the cliff.
Yes. I
want to go off the cliff.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you just, I mean, we'll get into it, but I mean, just the way that I felt like you talked about so much stuff that comes with discipleship, but also just guarding our own hearts and our minds and all of that stuff. It was so, I just feel like you are, I'm sure people say this to you all the time, wise beyond your years.
Thank you. Thank you.
For real. Because there are people our age as well that I'm like, I don't know if this is something you should be encouraging people with. Maybe this is for you to keep to yourself.
Right.
Until later.
I get that. Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure I've done that too. So that's on me too. but yeah, so I just wanted to start with a little bit, if you wanted to just share a little bit about, it's the worst question and I've never figured out a better way to ask it, but just a little bit about kind of who you are and where you've gotten to be just right now in this year.
Sure. Yeah, I'm Bree, and I am a lover of people. If there's anything that has to do with people, I enjoy it. A lot of times people ask me like, what are my hobbies? And I say, if it has to do with people, I'll make it a hobby. I'll make it work. So even if I don't like it, like I hate amusement parks, but I'll go to hang out with people. So that's, I mean, a big part of who I am is I just love being around people. I can talk to a rock. I'm an extrovert to the core of my being. I am just very much energized by being around people. Right now I am the CEO and founder of a ministry called Bree Dupree Ministries, where we're trying just to help people learn how to embrace their process. There's this like weird space between like the moment you find out what your dream is in life or your purpose is in life, and then the fulfillment of that. And there's all this space in between. And I found that sometimes people are trying to rush to the fulfillment of it, and then to the next promise, and never really dealing with process. And I feel like There's so much that God wants to teach us and process that you can miss out on if you don't have someone to come alongside you and help you slow down a little bit. So we do courses, self-care retreats, just opportunities for people to say like, hey, let's like slow down a little bit and focus on you. Where's your heart? Where's your head at? So we're doing that. And I'm also the senior pastor of a church community called Embrace Church. And we're really just a church for people in the middle. We're a bit unique in that we don't have four walls in the building, but instead we have chapters that will be spread all throughout our nation, hopefully eventually. Right now we have one in Orlando, Buffalo, New York, and then one's coming in Dayton, where we just want people to feel safe. It's for people who are, we call it in the middle. So maybe you're in between churches, maybe you're in the process of deconstructing from the faith. Maybe you don't even know what you feel about God right now. Maybe you just feel kind of weird about attending church right now. We want to say, hey, we're going to give you a safe community where you'll get biblical teaching, sound community and sound worship. And then we're trying to love you and embrace you into a healthy community. Then getting you getting you connected to a local church or a local Christian community. And so we're trying to stay small. We don't want to keep people for too long. We want to say, hey, come ride the wave for 2 months, 6 months, even a year if you need to. But eventually you got to find a community to get connected to. And so I'm getting to lead both of those things right now. And that's been super exciting. I'm also super unnerving because there's no blueprint for what I'm trying to do. Aside from Holy Spirit. It's exciting. So that's a little bit about me where I'm at right now.
Man, that's so exciting. Yeah. Good for you. Especially I think one of the things that 2020 has brought, I think a lot of times we find the things that we're called to, especially in the midst of chaos and in the midst of challenge and adversity. So that's just amazing. And I feel like I've already been a little bit of a recipient of what you have to offer. And it is really powerful. So congrats. That's so exciting.
Thank you.
I'm sure terrifying as well.
It's a mix of the two.
Totally. Well, I think something that I have noticed about you and that I'm very intrigued about is your dedication to studying. I think a lot of people are so into sharing what we're learning, but a lot of it is maybe more experiential than is necessarily like eschatology and learning how to exegete scripture.
Sure.
And we need both. I mean, we need it all. But I think I've been so impressed with you. I feel like you're always talking about like what you're studying, and you're probably like, well, obviously I'm a teacher, like that's, and I'm a pastor and a mentor and all that stuff. But I think just the fact that you have that discipline and that desire to like really learn and study is, I think, what is, you know, makes you somebody that is so wise beyond your age. And so I wanted to talk about today. I'm excited. What we talked about in your class was emotionally healthy spirituality. Say that 10 times fast.
Spirituality. If you can.
If you can. Yeah. And so I just wanted to start off super broad, and obviously we're just going to take this wherever it goes. But why did you feel a need to talk about this subject specifically? And I don't know if it was the first time you talked about it in that depth. I think you talked about it before, but what is really brought on that passion for you to really focus on that topic?
Yeah, I think in the moments that I've been able to disciple, especially a lot of young girls from high school, college age, I realized that there was this like huge gap between what was happening with them emotionally and personally and what was happening with them spiritually. So some of these girls who were like really struggling emotionally and mentally were some of the like top tier leaders in our churches. So, you know, the worship leaders, the lead Bible study leaders. And so from face value, they look like they had it all together. But in my office, they have all the stuff that's like just that not going well in their life. And not that we want them to be perfect. It was just like, it was like there's an inconsistency there. And so I was reading, you know, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Scazzaro, one of my favorite books of all time. I recommend everyone reads it. I've read it at least 5 times. But as I was reading that book, he talks about how you can't be spiritually mature if you're not emotionally mature. And I was like, whoa, that's it. Like, that's what I've been like realizing for so long. And so once I read that book, I was like, oh, okay, we got to take a deep dive now and realize that your spiritual maturity is really a facade if you don't have some emotional things taken care of behind the mask. Wow. And I realized that there was this inconsistency, especially in the church. Because it was like, if you can pray a powerful prayer, pray down heaven, mm-hmm. if you can recite mm-hmm. scripture well enough, if you can lead well enough, then everybody just thinks you're good. And I always felt right. like there was something in me, even when I was a pastor, like at a stereotypical local church, I was like, man, there's something about that has to be more to people growing spiritually than just knowing a good verse and being able to pray really well. I believe that God, Jesus came to earth, not just to die for us, but also to teach us how to live. He wasn't here, mm-hmm. but if he just came to die, mm-hmm. he would have come as a baby and then been a baby on the cross. And that blood would have still worked for us, right?
Yeah, right.
But he lived for 30-some years to teach us how to live. And I think, again, it's all mm-hmm. process, right? He was born, mm-hmm. he reached his end, and he knew that was coming. But all in this mm-hmm. process, we read in the Gospels, there's so much we can learn from that about how to handle anger, how to handle sadness, how to handle grief. That I felt like, man, we've got to not waste what Jesus taught us about how to live in just pursuit of celebrating Christmas when he was born and then Easter when he died. There's so many days in between that. So we talked about, like, you know, CEOs, people who Christmas and Easter only. And I get that, you know, people who only show up on those days. But I felt like some people, some of us, even as believers, we're living like CEOs, even though we go to church every Sunday. So you're celebrating the birth and you're celebrating the death and resurrection, but you missed out on the life. So that's kind of where I felt like, man, it has to be, we have to start talking about some of this stuff and helping people realize that Jesus speaks to those things. You don't have to look elsewhere. And I don't want to go on a tangent, but it's like, now you see people looking elsewhere for what Jesus offers. So you see them going to New Age places and Buddhism and all these things to deal with emotional stuff, and then they go to church for their spiritual stuff. So I'm seeing pictures now of some of, like, even some of my girls who have, like, their Bible and, like, a devotional and then, like, sage and some crystals and all that stuff. And I know people have different opinions about that, but it's like, when did all that get mixed together? Like, when was Jesus not enough? And so that's kind of when I was like, okay, we got to start dealing with some of this stuff head on. So
That is really good. It's kind of become like how do you say the word, smorgasbord, of like, you pick and choose where things feel good to you. And that's why. Do you think the church as a whole, and I'm such a fan of the church, so I'm not somebody who loves to just bash on it for no reason,
same.
You know, why do you think it has been this space of mostly spiritual maturity and lacking in emotional, mental health?
I think, and this is I'm too a lover of the church. I think we got distracted, and distracted by, you name a distraction, it's probably there. Finances, people in seats, programs, lights, all those things are good, and all those things. I'm all for churches that have those things, but I think at some point, we can easily go away from discipleship and more towards making sure our seats are full. And so even in my previous church experiences, I was a discipleship pastor, and oftentimes they would ask me to, you know, initiate discipleship programs and things like that. And what I realized is what Eugene Peterson said, is that discipleship is a long obedience in the same direction. And so I can have a program that's 7 weeks, but it's going to require someone to come alongside that person for maybe months or years from now. And that's the hard part about discipleship, is that I can't just do a 7-week program and be like, okay, now they're perfect disciples, plug them in. It's like, no, they can serve now, but they're going to need somebody to walk alongside them. And so I think they're at some point we either got distracted or just don't have the manpower now to be able to really put people in places to really make disciples, what we're supposed to be doing, to, like, have people making disciples, not just the pastors, but people in our pews making disciples of other people. You know, scripture talks about, like, older women, older men discipling younger women, younger men. Where is that right now? So I think we just got distracted, and I think the Holy Spirit is gently calling us back to course, as we're seeing so many people kind of make this smorgasbord that you're talking about. I feel like he's like kind of knocking on our hearts, saying, okay, like, they're looking for something. And it's not bad. Their search isn't bad. Their questions aren't bad. Right. Their doubts aren't bad. They just need to find what truth is. And that's only found in Jesus. And so I think we have to get refocused. And I'm hopeful that the Holy Spirit's doing a new thing and a fresh thing. And we're going to see another revival that's birthed out of these questionings, because now we're going to wake up and say, oh, wait, maybe we put our attention on the wrong things. We need to start putting our attention on the right thing again. So
That's really good. Yeah. I've seen in my own life in the last few years just how important mentorship and having somebody who is spiritually and in age older than me, just the leaps and bounds that I have made. Obviously, it is a journey forever, but it's just like, wow, I've had somebody in my corner being like, course correct, you know, and even just speaking into things is like, that's a great idea. Nope, not quite. Right. Exactly. So even you, like you're saying, so many people who are even maybe more spiritually mature or, you know, even awareness, like has awareness of ourselves and stuff. It can be easy and really enticing to kind of just course correct a little bit. And you can all of a sudden be like, oh, that was not my intention. And like you're saying, God is like, yeah, ask the questions, have the doubts, do the search, but always come back to Maine, always come back to North Star, to Jesus.
Right. Absolutely.
So it's hard. What do you think are some traits? And I know that, you know, Peter Scazzaro talks about it as well, but what are some signs? And as you said, even in like your own self or people that, you know, throughout your life, like you noticed somebody is a little bit off kilter when it comes to emotional and spiritual health.
Yeah, I think anytime we start to avoid emotion, especially emotions of anger or sadness, and we kind of try to press it away, that's a big sign. Okay, something's off emotionally. The scripture says you can be angry and not sin. Scripture does not prohibit sadness. And so when you start to see people, even in myself, when I start to feel myself being like, okay, we're getting together, I'm like, wait, this is really an unhealthy approach to this right now. I'm trying to shove down sadness in order to kind of, you know, deal with whatever's coming in front of me. So I think when people try, one of the signs is like when people try to hide the emotions that they're feeling, that are very real. Like you're allowed to feel those things. And I love telling people, like, God can handle your anger and your sadness. He's not up in heaven, like throwing a hissy fit because you're upset with him. Like he wants you, he knows your heart. He knows everything about you. So just pursue him. I think also using God or using scripture to pacify some of the things that you're doing. So being like super, I don't know what the word I want to use. I'll say religious for lack of a better word, but just using scripture to mask what it is that you're actually trying to say or what it is that you're actually believing. And I think there's this jadedness that comes over us at times because we're just like, we're doing for God instead of learning how to be with God. And I think that's another sign too. It's like, you're doing so much for God. You're at church every time the doors are open, you're leading all these things, but you're not really, you don't know what it's like to really be in the presence of God. So if you're not serving, you're struggling. Like if you're not serving in some ability, like it's hard for you to sit in the service. And that was hard for me at first, when I first started pastoring, but I just would go to a service just to sit there. I didn't really know what to do. I would like sit there and be like, yeah, this is nice, but like I'm like doing the whole, like, you know how the pastors look around to see like who's there and like who can they pray for next. Like I was doing that, and my friends would be like, "Green, you don't have to do anything here today."
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh, you're right. Like we just sit down and receive." But it was like it was almost like I forgot how to receive because I got so busy doing. And the moments where I had to sit still and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me, and even like in my personal time with God, it wasn't that I was spending time with Him. To spend time with him, I was spending time with him because I had a sermon to preach or a Bible study to prepare for, or I knew someone was going to ask me a question about this topic, so I had to study up on it. So even in that time, it's supposed to be like him speaking to me and having that time. It was just me preparing for the next thing. And then you just have to kind of pull yourself back and say, no. He wants to be with you. And I think there's like, this can be this like, I'm going to do more mentality that we get into. That can really get us like messed up emotionally because we just keep doing. And then we end up burning out. We end up feeling like, man, I don't know what else I can do. Because that's not the ultimate goal of what God's called us to do. Like serve your local church, serve with enthusiasm. At the same time, take care of yourself, like rest. And I think that's another sign too, learning people who don't know how to just rest. And I had one of this one too, because I am not the best at resting. But like, yeah, I like to be on the go. Yeah. Like, yeah. I like to be on the go. I like to work. Like I said, I like to be around people. So like pulling me back from those things is very hard. And so I've had accountability and friends and mentors that, and discipline now that I've had to intentionally put rest into my life, because it reminds me, Bree, you are a finite human who needs rest and has to rely on Holy Spirit to get things done. And you can't do everything. And so me taking a day off a week helps me realize, okay, I need to rest. Or if I have a busy day and I can feel my body's kind of like out of it, so if I need to cancel a couple of meetings and just, so it's just me taking care of like my heart and my mind at that point. But I think those are a few of the things that I can see in people where it's like, something might be a little bit off emotionally for you. Maybe we need to come back to kind of the starting point and reevaluate kind of how you're approaching life right now in that moment.
That's good. That's really good. I don't know whoever said it. I think we've all repeated it, but I remember the phrase, we're not human doings, we're human beings.
Right, right.
Which is, yeah, I think very few people don't struggle with rest.
Yes.
it's such an interesting thing, because I think it's such an important time for us to be able to be filled and to be able to, to rejuvenate, recover. I read a book about Sabbath. I read a couple books about Sabbath, and he was saying the only commandment that someone on staff or in ministry will not be fired for is not breaking the Sabbath.
Yes.
And like, when you really think about it, you're like, oh man,
right?
You're like, oh, you worked 10 days in a 7-day week. Congrats. Right. Good for you. Proud of you.
Right. It's so unhealthy. But that's the thing too. Like, it's celebrated. So it's not, and I mean, not just in church, it's in life in general. Like, you know, business people, you work, you know, all day, every day. And they're like, man, you're celebrating because you're at work from sunrise to sunset. It's just, we got to get a healthier, I think, view of rest and work. So.
Yeah. And I think to your earlier point about, I think a lot of times why some of us don't even recognize the need for it is because if we don't give ourselves time to stop, for me personally, when I stop is when I finally, some of like maybe some lingering sadness can finally sit in, or some lingering anger or insecurity, all of that stuff.
Absolutely.
Which will probably spur me on to why I don't want to sit still and have those moments. I'm like, I'm not prepared. I'm not ready. I'm gonna keep working for you, Lord. I'm gonna keep, you know, furthering the kingdom. You said something that I took down as a note in our course. You said, the reality is that emotional maturity and spiritual maturity are inseparable. It is not possible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. Mm-hmm. And that is so powerful. Can you talk just a little bit on that?
Yeah, I think we have to stop detaching spirituality and how we are emotionally, that they are one. Mm-hmm. Who we are is we're a whole being, and God wants to minister to us holistically. So with that being said, if I'm emotionally immature, it is impossible for me to be spiritually mature, because they're not separated. And so if I'm dealing with some emotional immaturity in me, I don't have a correct view of my spirituality or my relationship with the Lord, because that should inform how I grow emotionally. And again, I think it can feel like a foreign concept in church, because I felt they've been separated for so long. But I think, you know, like, you know, Jackie Hill Perry, her sweatshirt that says Jesus in therapy, I think that needs to be more of an intentional pursuit in the church of saying, yes, part of my spiritual journey is also growing emotionally and mentally, and getting therapy if I need it, getting counsel if I need it, getting mentors if I need it, inviting Holy Spirit into that place. I find one of the biggest issues that keeps some people blocked up at times, or like if someone calls me like, Greg, we need to pray over some stuff. As we get to praying and Holy Spirit begins to speak, I realize there's a blockage here because you never invited Holy Spirit into the space. And so the reason why there's a block here is that you never invited Holy Spirit into the sadness when that parent died or when that relationship broke up. And so he's longing to come in, like he's right there, but you've got to invite him in there so that he can help you begin to process that. And I think it almost feels like sometimes we're like, okay, I'm going to deal with my breakup here. Holy Spirit, you stand here at the door while I deal with this. And then once I'm done with this, dealing with this breakup, we're going to meet up again, and then I'll go back into ministry. And I think Holy Spirit's like, no, I want to actually be involved in this. Like, I want to cry with you. I want to intercede for you. Like, I tell people, it's like we have the most powerful being on the face of the planet living on the inside of us. That is Holy Spirit. And he does not just want to help us have a prayer life or a prayer language or serve in church. He also wants to help us live everyday life. Like, I need Holy Spirit sometimes just to help my anger when I'm driving. I need to call on him to help me when I'm driving, just like I need to call on him if I'm in a breakup or if a family member dies or whatever. Like, I need to call on him and say, hey, like, you are the one that provides peace and self endurance and selflessness and all this. And you're the one that does that in me, and so I need you to do that. And so I think it's just this inviting him in. And the reason why I know that people want that is because people are going and burning sage and rubbing crystals to get that. So they're looking for that from a spiritual source. And it's like, man, I tell people, like, you know, I grew up super old school Pentecostal, and it used to be like really weird and out there. Now I'm like, hey, we need to stand up and start reminding people of some of those. I know something that works better than sage, you know? And so it's like, stepping up again and saying, hey, like, there's a God who speaks to all these things, and he might, and he speaks to it even in a supernatural way. So he'll move in a supernatural way if you let him. And I think as believers, we've got to be more bold about that, because people are looking for spirituality. And so they'll go to all these other things and all these other sources, all these new age things that seem weird to us. Honestly, if you look at our faith from the outside looking in, we believe some pretty weird stuff. Okay.
Right.
You know, that this guy, Cain, was born of a virgin, died on the cross. We believe some weird stuff. So it's not about it being us understanding it or not, because he's an infinite God we don't understand. But it's about us introducing people to the supernatural power of God, that I feel like he's just, I've just felt in my spirit that he's longing to pour out his power and his spirit in a fresh way. He's looking for people to say, hey, please come on and do it here. Do it in my house. Do it in my relationship. Do it in my church. And then I think when we get to that place of longing, saying, Holy Spirit, do whatever you want. I don't care if I'm a Lutheran church, Pentecostal, Baptist. We just want, if it's you, we want you. And so I think I digress, but I think that's where those things have to come together. Our spirituality and our emotional life, God wants to minister to us all and minister us to us holistically. Is what I'm saying. And I think once we do that, we really get to understand what it means to live for Christ and not just be born, find the purpose ish and then die and go to heaven. He wants to have life and life abundantly. And that's, he's given us all the tools to be able to do that. So I think it's just, again, it's all elementary stuff. We all learned it in Sunday school. We all learned it, but I think now it's just being reminded of it and now actually walking into it.
Yeah, that's good. When you were talking, and this might be off topic a little bit, but I think I'm coming into contact a lot more with a lot of believers getting involved in a lot of these, like sage and crystals, and even like, you know, being with shamans and like going on some of these like trips to heal repressed emotions. You know, there's a lot of this stuff. And I feel like a lot of the response I get is like, well, God created all of it, so it's all from him. What would you say to that?
I would say you have to be very careful about what we assign to God and what we assign to his authority and power. I have friends who are in the same thing who would say similar things to me. If I were to bring some of these things up and have certain things, I'm just like, you know, God's also given us like discernment and wisdom to know where to go. We understand that you know, the power of God is real, and so is the power of demons and demonic authority. And people aren't talking about that now, but it's true and it's real. And the supernatural is real. So there are spirits out there that know things, and they know things about us. As you can go to a pastor to get a prophetic word, you can go to a shaman or something to get the same, because they know things. It's not that they're dumb. They have knowledge from different realms and spirit realms and all those things. And I don't know all how the spiritual realm works, but I just know that's true. So I always caution people just to be very careful where you go, because if you're opening up a door, You never know what that's going to do. Again, this is like, I feel like I'm this old school Pentecostal preacher, but it's true. Like there's like this, there are doors that are opened up that you can get entangled with that can just become, they can get really messy real quick. And so I tell people like, hey, you do not have to go to a shaman. Come to my house. I'll take it. We'll take care of it today. Okay. I just need a little bit of anointing oil. Just give me a good 20 minutes. I'll say Jesus real quick. You know, like I'm good to go.
Right.
And so again, but I think that's why people are looking for that because
absolutely
they're not finding it in our churches. And so I think if we went to start saying to people like, hey, we're going to have a prayer meeting tonight. We're going to deal with repressed emotions. People would be like, what? Like in a church? Because God wants to deal with some of that stuff. Let the Holy Spirit bring it out because God through his spirit uses things and it might hurt at first, but it's not, he's not bringing it out to hurt us. He's bringing it out to heal us. And so that we can become dependent on him. So I just always caution people, just be discerning, like just allow the Holy Spirit to direct and guide you. And if you're longing for something you haven't found yet, like seek him first and let him begin to open some of those doors. I think there. We can't abandon traditional teachings of scripture because we feel like there's a void for us somewhere here now. Instead, we can say, hey, let's go back to the main source. You know, that's what we're kind of even trying to do with Embrace Church of saying, hey, you can have any question you want. You can come from any lifestyle, any background and come to what we do and come to our chapters. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do is we're going to be a vehicle to bring you back to the main source. If you're looking for all this other stuff, you're not going to find it here. We are going to point to Jesus, and we're going to point to the Word of God, and we're going to point you there and help you understand what it is that God wants to do, which includes supernatural, which includes the power of God, which includes the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's what I would say to people who are in that boat. Just say, just be wise and be careful because you don't know what you're opening up or inviting into your life, into your body, into your home. Pray.
No, that's really good. Well, and being somebody who has, you know, gone through a lot of chronic health stuff, and so I myself have personally like looked at so many different avenues when it comes to physical healing, and I am such a believer that our body is just an extension of our brain. And so a lot of things that we go through are, you know, have to do with emotional and cognitive health as well as physical. You know, and spiritual and all of that stuff. And so I've even found myself, you know, looking into things and then I get this like ping in my spirit and then I'll talk to, you know, my parents or my mentor or somebody. And it's like, So, I mean, I even bring that up to say, I think some of us who already even feel maybe like spiritually mature, you know, and not like there's a level or whatever, but just we feel like we've been on this walk with God for a long time and we've been growing and maturing all this stuff. Like it can, I just think the enemy will try sometimes the enemy. And then just sometimes we just out of really good intentions can kind of like end up heading into something. I started doing something and it was drinking celery juice and it was nothing crazy. And there's somebody who pushes it really hard. And I bought the book and stuff and I was reading through it and I realized that this person is a medium.
And so
after reading through it, I was like, oh, and I was doing at my church, we were doing the Bible in a year and it was the scripture where I forget which king it is, but he consults a medium. And they bring up. And I was like, Oh, yeah, for sure. That's for sure. So, like, I threw away the book immediately. And like, and it's, I mean, it's a really popular person. And I hear Christians bring up this person all the time. Like, and so it was just, but for me, I was like, this was probably like 6 or 7 years ago. But I was like, I'm consulting the medium. Never mind.
I'm good.
Regardless if celery juice is good for you or not, I don't drink it anymore because of that. But I'm like, God, I'm not even gonna step on that. I'm not gonna touch
it.
But yeah, so it's I think we all navigate that. And I think for me too, sometimes in my own immaturity, sometimes I feel like where I lack, sometimes my my trust in the ability for God to fill those voids, that's when I do some of my outside searching, because right. I realize that I don't actually trust that God is going to do that in my life.
Well, yeah.
And so I've had to. So can we touch on, you do such a brilliant job at touching on just some different like steps and just practical. Like I think that, especially when it comes to spiritual and emotional health, it's always so great to then talk right. about just practical ways. And you talk about steps just to encourage emotional health.
Yeah.
If you want to touch on that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the steps that we have to get when we're trying to think through, okay, how can we become emotionally healthy, is finding people in a community or people around you that you can trust. Yeah. I've got so much emotional healing from being around people like Darius, who we mentioned earlier, other friends from college, my family, who I can trust with some of the like deepest, darkest emotions, thoughts that I have, and that yeah. I'm then confronted with not condemnation or judgment, but instead love and hey Bri, I understand, let's talk through this together, let's pray for this together. But that can be yeah. you don't even understand like how healing that can be until you do it and you're like, man, I'm allowed to feel that way. Or even when you talk to someone else and they're like, hey Bri, I felt the same way, like I felt the same way that you did, and now you yeah. feel like, oh man, I'm not alone, because that's one of the tricks of Satan to keep us trapped emotionally yeah. and mentally, is to make you feel like you're isolated. So then when you start mm-hmm. talking about it and someone else is like, hey, I feel the same way that you do. And all of a sudden we're all together, where it's like, oh, okay, I can actually get through this. So I think that's a huge step, just finding community, finding people who can get alongside of you. I think reaching out if you need counseling, like get counseling, mm-hmm. get the help that you yeah. need. Have someone that you can talk to just about like life in general. If you don't have a pastor or mentor or someone, maybe it's time for you to go ahead and hire somebody to do it. Mm-hmm. Hire somebody right. to listen right. to you for a couple hours a week. Just to yeah. get that stuff like off of yeah. you. And I think another thing we just talked about before, but is in inviting Holy Spirit into that space, like just being mm-hmm. honest with him, like in your
yeah.
prayer time and your times with God, like I'm really angry right now. And I'm like, I'm upset yeah. about this and I'm hurting here and I need you to come and I need you to heal me. And I need you to be a part of my emotional health and my journey mm-hmm. where I'm at mm-hmm. right now. And so I think inviting Holy Spirit, inviting community changes the game. And I think yeah. also just being honest with yourself about where you're at. Like I think right. sometimes we I think it's Bishop T.D. Jakes that says God can't bless your imposter. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we're trying to be in this position where we're like, oh yeah, I got it, like I'll take care of it, I can do this, that, and the other. And mm-hmm. it's yeah. like God's like, no, this is not who you really are. Like let's stop, yeah. stop being fake. Like be you, be who I made you to be who I groomed you to be, and allow me to work and move on the inside of you. And so I think that's a big thing too, of just being mm-hmm. honest about where you're at. And I think that's, yeah. I've seen so many friends who have been like, man, I don't have to like, you know, do A, B, and C in order to be accepted. No, you just right. get to be yourself right. and allow the Holy Spirit to work and move and stop trying to like fit into these categories. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those are just a few steps of just like practical things of just and slowing mm-hmm. down. I think one of the things you talked about mm-hmm. before was actually practicing silence and solitude. And it's in those moments where we do rest, we talked about mm-hmm. that we're forced to be silent in solitude. And I hate mm-hmm. that because, like I said, I love talking. I love being around people. Like if I'm yeah. in my car, I always have like a podcast going or yeah. Music playing. If I'm at home, the TV's on or music playing. Mm, like I always, right. I'm always surrounded by noise. And I feel even now, like I'm working at I work out of a co-working space. So I love having people around me at all times.
Right.
So instead of being like alone, but the Holy Spirit yeah. really began to impress on me a few years ago. Like, Bri, you've got to practice silence and you've got to practice solitude. Because I was allowing everything from the world to drown out anything that I was feeling in and of myself. And so just taking moments to just meditate, to spend time with God and say, okay, I just want to hear from you today. You know, I believe it was David who said in one of the Psalms, like, hey, examine my heart. Look at what's going on here. And I think just being honest with the Lord and say, can you examine my heart? Can you begin to flesh out? Even if you feel like you're doing great, even if you are in an emotionally mature, right. spiritually mature place, say, Holy Spirit, can you examine anything in my heart that's like, that's trying to make its way into like the depths of who I am, that's going to eventually lead to bitterness and all those things. And mm-hmm. that practice has helped me so much because I'll be able to catch, by the Spirit of God, I'll be able to catch a thought or a feeling mm-hmm. that was trying to make its way into bitterness. and be like, hey, why did I respond to that person like that yesterday? As I'm just reflecting in silence, and I thought the Holy Spirit brings it up, that conversation. I go, I was kind of like a little snappy. Okay. I'm not able to understand. I'm angry at this individual because of something that happened. And so that almost took a root in bitterness. So now I can deal with it. If I have to go confront that individual, if I need to confront myself, if I need to now process through that anger with a mentor, or my counselor, whoever, like I can now walk through that. So I think silence and solitude is a big one. And it's one that I run away from a lot because I I love noise. I constantly want to have like, you know, my AirPods in and listening to something. I constantly want to be talking to someone on the phone. And then there are moments where I just feel the Holy Spirit being like, hey, I'm drawing you to myself. So I actually want to speak to you about what's going on. And I know some of those steps can seem like super, like spiritual, but I think we have to remember that like our walk with the Lord is a relationship. It's not just like a checkbox of things that we do, or just like a something that we are doing so we can serve well in church. Like the Lord wants a relationship with us, which means he wants to have conversation with us and community with us and to be present with us. And walking with him that way will change your entire life. It doesn't mean that difficulty won't come. It doesn't mean that life won't be hard at times, but it does mean that you really understand what scripture says, that he's closer than a brother. And that he's wanting to be so eagerly involved in what's going on. So I think those are some ways that we can slow down a little bit. And that's what we're trying to do, even with Free-to-Pre Ministries and the courses that we're teaching, and the like retreats and things that we're saying, hey, we're just going to slow down for a minute and talk through some things. So right now I'm teaching a course on prayer, and I'm just doing 5 weeks, and we're going to talk about prayer and like, what does it mean to talk to God, and how do you engage in prayer to help yourself grow? And so what I'm hoping for my students now is that they would slow down and begin to examine their prayer lives and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I want a relationship with God. I want a relationship with Jesus. I want a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's going to help me learn what it means to pray in a way that I can really learn how to be in relationship with God and not just be his servant.
That's really good. You've mentioned too before, two other things you talk about, repentance and confession. Can you talk about the importance of that?
Repentance for too long has been like a cuss word in church. It's like you repent when you get saved, you accept Jesus initially, and then after that, everybody forgets about the word. But repentance is this beautiful invitation to recognize and remember the grace and mercy of God. And so when we repent and we say, God, like, hey, I'm sorry for that thought I had. Or in the example I used earlier, I'm sorry for the way I snapped at this individual. It's not just me saying I'm sorry, but it's now me taking a 360 turn saying, okay, how can I now live in a way that corrects that behavior through the power of the Holy Spirit? And then I met with his grace and his mercy. And I love what it says in scripture that as soon as we repent, he chooses to forget our sins and throws it as far as the east is from the west. And so when I'm talking to people about repentance, like let's say a girl calls me and they're having a sin issue. And my first question typically is, have you like gone to God about it first? Because I never want people to think that I'm like their priest or I'm Holy Spirit for them. It's like, we'll talk through some stuff, but talk to God first. Typically the answer is yes. And I'll go, you know what? The funny thing about this conversation is God's probably listening to our conversation and being like, what are they talking about? Because he chose to forget about it. He's not like seeing you as, you know, the girl who messed up in this way or that way. He's seeing you as a daughter who's covered in the blood of Jesus. And our conversation right now, he's probably like, what are they talking about then? Like, this is crazy. So it's this beautiful invitation of receiving his grace and his mercy and confession, not only confession to God, but also there might be moments where you just need to confess to other people. I remember there was a moment in college where one of our really good friends, we were all part of this gospel choir ensemble together. We were headed to a venue to lead worship together. And our choir director just felt led in the van to ask everyone what God was teaching them. And long story short, we got to one of the guys and he just lost it, started crying and confessed that he had been an alcoholic for years and never told anyone, but he just felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So he's like weeping in the back of the van, it's silent in the van. We're praying for him. We get out of the van, like we're all hugging him and stuff. But it was like that weekend we saw how the Holy Spirit freed him from this bondage of alcoholism that he was carrying for so long because he was keeping it a secret. He was like, my family's great. Like, I don't have any like real issues in my life. He's like, I literally just drink to drink. Like, it's like, I have no reason to do it. And it's become an addiction. But his confession in that moment and him being embraced by our entire team, no one looked at him weird. No one was like, okay, well, you can't serve anymore this weekend. Yeah. We're all like, man, we're gonna come along. We're gonna support you. Mm-hmm. And he had issues throughout the months to come, but we were there because we were like, okay, we're gonna keep an eye on you. We're gonna come alongside you. We're gonna push you. And so there's something about the beauty of confession when I am not only met with the grace and mercy of God, but also when I'm able to confess to my friends and community that I support, that supports me and loves me, I'm able to see, oh man, they still love me. Like they know that. And I think this is why my best friends are my best friends, because they see me at my very best and my very worst, and they're still here. And so the fact that they're still here, I'm just like, okay, yeah, you are on this, like you are something, someone special, because you know who I am. And so I think there's this beautiful invitation of grace and mercy that comes, and repentance and confession that we miss out on when we choose to live in secrecy and choose to hide from what it is that God wants to do with us. And so I think when you're met by grace and mercy, that does so much more healing than I think most people really take credit for or understand what happens there. So yes, that's a little bit about repentance and confession.
Yeah, that's good. It's really good. Especially I think, you know, I don't think COVID created anything in us that we didn't already have. I think it just like exacerbated and propelled a lot of things that either we've been like repressing or just unwilling to deal with,
right,
of that stuff. Because I think, and I remember at the beginning hearing just different neuroscientists and people in the therapy community and stuff just saying like, this is going to be the time that like the people of God and people in counseling and ministry are going to be so needed, because I think just seeing the things that a lot of people and myself included are going through, it's like, wow, like we really need to address a lot of this stuff, because I mean, I just feel like things have exploded in people there. Some of my friends who are, he's a cop, and he just said like road rage is off the charts.
Yeah.
Like major before, more than it's ever been, especially, you know, in the area that I'm in. And so it's just like, okay, yeah, I think we've allowed ourselves to repress things for so long.
Right.
And then we're taken into a situation where we're out of control. We've always been out of control, but I think a lot of us feel like we've had a lot more control than we really have. But we were shown like, hey, guess what? Everything can get taken away.
Yes.
Like a lot of your safety and security that you can feel.
Right.
And then even in myself, I recognize areas that I went to first. And so I had to do a lot of repentance of like, wow, God, forgive me. Cause I, like I said, even in just some of my search with health and wellness stuff, like I have looked for things outside of you.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I had to not in a way like, oh, I'm so sinful, I'm so bad, you know, but I realized I wasn't willing to repent about that at first, because then it just meant like, I think I was being prideful, and I think I was wanting to find the solution. I was wanting to control the situation and the outcome.
Mm, right.
And it just wasn't working.
Right. Really, it never working. Does.
It doesn't. Why doesn't it? Is there like, and I mean, I know emotions are such a, and they're a hot topic now for good reason. And then also just when things kind of start to trend, you know, everybody jumps on the train. But are there any emotions that you think believers specifically, or that you've encountered, you think people struggle with more than others?
Yeah, I think emotions, like I think depression is becoming more prevalent to talk about in the church.
Yeah.
But I do feel like it happens in the church far more than I see it happen anywhere else. It's really crazy to me.
Yeah.
Of how many people struggle with like deep depression, anxiety, mental disorders. I've actually done a lot of thought about this, because I think maybe it comes from, and it's just me guessing, but maybe it comes from us forgetting the scripture talks about allowing the Holy Spirit to renew our minds. Mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily talking about like chemical imbalances. Like I know that's
right.
a real thing as well. But I think when it comes to some depression and some anxiety, like, okay, what does it mean? And I'm still working through this, but what does it mean for the Holy Spirit to renew our minds? That he's not just coming to deal with our emotions, but he also wants to deal with our minds, how we think about things, how we see things. And so I think that's one of the ones that is super prevalent, at least a lot of the people that I disciple, even myself personally, I wrestle with depression and anxiety. Right. And so when I have these like deep moments of despair, I'm just like, man, how did I get this low? How did I get to like to this place? Like, I know Holy Spirit, like everything I just told you, I know all those things, but I've had moments where I've like cried myself to sleep because I felt like I couldn't get any relief from the deep sadness that I felt. And anyone who's wrestled with depression knows exactly what I'm talking about, where it's like, there's no escape. And anybody can, they can pray over you, say scripture over you. You can talk to anybody, but it's like, you can't, it's almost like you can't even express what's going on and not well enough to really be able to be comforted enough. But that's a big one that I feel like I see a lot. And I think another one is anger that has all kinds of, I think anger has all types of things attached to it. So there can be bitterness, there can be unresolved emotions there. But a lot of times when I'm praying, this has to do with a lot of the guys I get to disciple, like some of these, a lot of these young men have these deep rooted anger points. Like once we get down to all the like the core, when we get to the root, I'm like, whoa, this is an anger thing. And we have to deal with, okay, why are you angry? Like what took root? And that's when bitterness took root. It says it's like, okay, let's tear apart the anger fruit, if you will. Like let's see what's really at the core of that. So I think those are two emotions that I've seen that are like rampant in a lot of churches on like a deep level of people trying to figure out what is there. I think anger can even be attached to another one I've seen a lot is disappointment. Talked about earlier about really realizing that we have to trust God. And I think the reason why some people have gone to other sources to get healing emotionally or mentally is because they felt like God disappointed them. And they called out to God for healing for their body, had people pray, had the elders anointed oil, did all those things, and they're still sick. And then they go to some other holistic doctor or healer, and they experience relief for the first time in years. So there's a disappointment now that's taken root that relates to God, which can also be connected to anger. And so I think that's a big one too, that I've seen of people having to question themselves and say, do I really trust God? And I've had to make that question known to myself too, of like, if I trust God, then there are certain things and certain ways I need to respond to what he's doing. If I don't trust him, it's going to be very obvious. And how I approach things. And so I think I think that goes back to us just being able to be real with God. I felt like some people felt like they couldn't tell their pastor or their leader or a mentor that they weren't trusting God. So they went to another source so that they could still keep their spiritual side, but still experience relief without having to deal with disappointment. Because they felt like for whatever reason they couldn't talk about it. And I tell people all the time, God can handle you. Just like he's not like a punk. Like he's not a punk in the sky. Like he's out there crying because you're disappointed in him. Like his ways are higher than ours and his thoughts are higher than ours. And I know that could be a super cliche verse to say, but it's true. And he gets that. He knows that there's so much that he's working out for us that we can't see for ourselves. And he knows why you're not healed yet. And he knows why situations haven't turned out the way that you felt like they should. But he's asking us to trust him. And that's the hard part. It's like after I say the prayer and like the like new Christian thing like wears off and life starts to hit me, it's like, okay, am I going to trust him with some of the stuff that it just feels like it's not fair? And I think sometimes it's just it's having the conversation about it. And being able to talk about it and be honest about it. And honestly, when people come up to me with disappointment, I tell them like, hey, I don't necessarily have an answer for you as to why some of these things haven't happened, but I do know that God can handle it and he wants to be invited into the space. And then it's a process of us now together trusting him and learning how to deal with some of those things. So, but I think those are the two big emotions, anger, depression, and sadness with, you know, tons of roots all over the place of where those things could have come from.
Yeah, that's good. And I think it's interesting too, when we see all throughout scripture, like God has given us the prescription for like when we encounter fear, when we encounter sadness, when we encounter anger. I think people have taken different scriptures to mean like, you can't feel that. When really it's like God knew as humans, what we are going to encounter. And so it's like he's given us these prescriptions for how to fix our mind and renew our mind on these truths. Rather, it's not, hey, you better not have an angry thought at all, because that makes you a sinner, you know? And I think I agree with you. I think anger is a really big one, because it talks about, yeah, like not staying angry, which means he knows we were going to get angry. He knows there were going to be angering situations, and, and Bible talks about righteous anger. Right.
Right.
But it, yeah, it's like, he knows that we're going to encounter it and we're going to experience it. We are human. We are not infallible creatures.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, he's given us this prescription, and yet for some reason, like, the religious spirit loves to, you know, tackle onto these things. And I feel like I talked to so many people, and they're like, you know, this, this, and this are going on, but God is good. I'm like, I know, I didn't ask you if he was good or not. I asked if you were good. Like, I didn't want to hear if you're blessed. That's fine. Right. Yeah. Blessed and highly favored. Sure. I agree with you. But like, how do you feel right now in this moment? Because you look like you want to sock someone in the face. So
so be honest. Be honest.
No, let's just be honest. Yeah. Yeah. No, so it's just so good. And like you're saying, like the process part, that's just, I think I like you're saying, I like to run from the process, and I also like to speed up the process.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's probably a lot of my prayers. Lord, if you could just.
Yeah. Just hurry up. Right.
And we can just get to the end. I'd really greatly appreciate it.
Yes. 100%. Completely been there.
Yeah. And then I don't think I'll struggle with anything I struggle with now. If you just go ahead and maybe, you know, bring some of this to fruition. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Right.
Oh, gosh. I also wanted to ask you about, because I was just reading through just my notes from when I went through your course, and I was like, I'm so thankful I went through this, because honestly, I'm not even just because I know you and love you now, but I was like, Yeah. This is really good. You talk a little bit about spiritual burnout.
Yeah.
And I just wanted you to touch on it, because I do think, I was just thinking about it over myself as well. And I do not want to be that person that talks about COVID for the rest of life. Right. But I think being somebody in ministry, just being a believer who we've just probably encountered every doubt or question, or, you know, if we hadn't already in life, like, it just felt like there was an opportunity to bring up a doubt or a question that I've sensed it in myself. And I've sensed it in so many people that I know, just this spiritual burnout of not a lack of love or belief or fervor for God, but just this. I find sometimes I can be a little, what's the word? Disassociative. Like I can, if I get overwhelmed, I can get out of myself. I don't even know what I'm thinking or feeling. Right. It's not even in my head to like talk to God. I just kind of go in this disassociative space of where I need to just separate. Like you say, like sometimes I'll leave God out of it.
Right.
And I feel like, I see that a lot in friends and just people. So can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think a lot of times spiritual burnout occurs because we have an unhealthy relationship with God and who he is.
Yeah.
And I think some of that comes from our spirituality being attached to what we do, or being attached to how often we serve. So it almost feels like when I have a break from church, I don't want to do anything church related. Cause I've 100% been there. Like if I'm on vacation, I don't want to go to a church. I don't want to see anything. I might listen to like a worship song or two, like maybe it's like, but then there's just like this like detachment that I want from all things spiritual. Cause I've attached my relationship with God to the work I do at a building that's made me tired in my body. Or it's maybe tired of my spirit or whatever. So I've attached these two things. And I've realized over time that it's not really healthy. Like who I am as a believer, as a follower of Christ, is who I am, period. Whether I'm on vacation, at church, and all those things. But what I realized is that I started to associate God with all the work I was doing, how tired I am, the hours I put in. Or even if you don't work for a church, the things you're doing for God, how often you're doing those things. So you hear people be like, I just need a break. But no, this weekend, I'm going to turn up. I just need a break and I'll be back on next Sunday. And then I'll be back. To, you know, it's like, I don't know if I get it because I get there. I'm there at times. But I just don't know if that's what it was meant to, like, when we were supposed to have a relationship with God, if that's what it's supposed to look like, you know? Like, I don't think he's like, oh, yeah, go ahead, take a break. You're good. I think he's like, yes, go rest. Like, you don't have to, like, be reading your Bible 24/7 and, like, walking around praying all the time. But that still have that relationship with him is is important and vital. And so I think it's just, it's this, at some point, I think sometimes, I know I've been here before, where you start to correlate your spirituality to what you're doing for God rather than learning to be with God. And what I find is so interesting when I'm talking to people or discipling people or even praying over someone, I find out a lot of times that the Holy Spirit has me remind them that they're a daughter or a son before we get to anything super deep. So I might start talking about some of the issues that they're dealing with, and then the Holy Spirit is like, hey, remind them that they're loved. I was praying with this young man a week ago through some stuff that he was wrestling with some addictions, and we started praying through some of that stuff, and I just felt like this, it's hard to express what I felt, but I felt like this overwhelming love for him from the heart of the Father. And so I just began to communicate to that to him in prayer. And that's what got him released from that addiction. It wasn't all the stuff I was trying to do before. It was, it was me just saying, hey, you're loved. And like, God is for, he's not disappointed in you. He loves you right where you are. He wants you to know that you're a son, and there's nothing you could do about that. Like, you're forever in his hand. Nothing could take you out of his hand. As I began to say that, he just broke down, because it was like the love of God came in and destroyed every single thing that was trying to hold him.
Yeah.
And I think if we get to a place of understanding that we're daughters and sons of God, and that we get to be children of God all the time, and God begins to restore the joy of our salvation, then it's a wrap. Like, there won't be anything such as spiritual. I might have church burnout. I might have service burnout. I might be burnt out, and my body just tired physically or emotionally. But spiritual burnout won't be a thing for me anymore, because I understand that in God I find peace and rest and security. I might be burnt out with all these other people because they want all these things from me. And I can disappoint, I can fail them. But in God, he has this, the way his economy works and the way his love works, it's like, man, there's like scripture, Paul talks about like, the more we sin, the more the grace that's available for us. That verse makes no sense. And he goes on to say, like, does that mean we're going to sin, you know, as much as we want? He goes, of course not. What he's communicating is, if you really understand grace for real, you're not going to want to do some things that disappoint God. But he's still saying, at the same time, the more you sin, the more grace is available. That's still true. And it's wild, because it doesn't make sense to us, and it's hard to preach about, because the pastors feel they have to make all these like additional efforts to what the word says. And it's like, I know it doesn't make sense to you. I know it doesn't make sense to me either, but it's truth. And this truth and this reality sets captives free and allows people to actually rest in who God is, of embracing his love, embracing his grace. He's a God who's for us and wants us, like, he wants to be with us. And so I think it's this understanding, learning to understand. I don't think we'll ever understand the love and grace of God fully, but learning to understand that and lean in that. And I found, even over the last like year of my life, I have found so much peace and rest in who I am, because I've gotten to a point of realizing I'm a daughter. I'll make mistakes. I'll have moments where I don't do what God's called me to do. I have all these things, but at the end of the day, I'm his, and there's nothing that anyone can do about it. So that brings a new confidence. That brings a kick up in my self-esteem. That helps me realize, man, anybody can say whatever they want to say about me, but at the end of the day, I'm still found in him. And the love of God can be truly revolutionizing for us and life-changing for us if we get back to that. And I think that's what we're going to see the next revival come in our nation and the world, where people get back to that like, no, I'm not going to condemn you. I might not even know everything that's going on with you emotionally, but I want you to know how deep the love of God is for you. And when you can kind of start to embrace that, then a lot of that other stuff is going to begin to work itself out, because you're coming from it from a secure place in who God is and who you are in him.
That's beautiful. That's really good. And I love the clarification you give of like, there can be different kind of burnout. And I think the enemy can probably use some of that to then, like, he's the accuser, to accuse you of like,
see, absolutely,
you don't love God enough to, or how you struggle with this if you had enough faith, or all of that kind of stuff. So I love how you clarify, like, there can be like people pleasing burnout. There can be, you know, doing for church burnout and all of that stuff. And so that's a beautiful clarification. Yeah, man, that's so good. That's so good. Thank you. I think I that's really good. Usually I just end a different way, but I was wondering if you would mind, if you have anything on your heart, just to pray over people after listening to this conversation who might be struggling with emotional or mental health, or even struggling maybe with a little bit of burnout. I just think there's a lot of things that you have said that I think are just hitting on the money of what so many of us are experiencing, the human experience, the, you know, being a believer.
Right.
Like you said, it's not easy, but we have been invited into this walk with God where He can provide every single thing that we need.
Yes.
And it's just good to be reminded of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love to. All right, let's pray. Yeah. Father, we love you, and we are so grateful for you. Grateful that you are who you say you are, that you're consistent, that you're loyal, that you're faithful, even when we're faithless. Mm-hmm. God, and times that are changing. We've been talking about 2020 and COVID, all the things that have been happening. So much has changed, but you've remained the same.
Yeah,
you've been loyal, and you've been faithful, and you've still been loving and full of grace and mercy. Father, we thank you for that consistency, for that has been our stability, even in changing times. And Father, I pray for any individual watching this, listening to this, Lord, I pray that they would be met with the love of God in a way they've never been met with it before. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would begin to fill their cars, their rooms, their offices, their homes, God, with the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Father, I thank you for the gift of your Spirit that you give to us. And your word says that the Holy Spirit is an intercessor. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. The Holy Spirit is one who teaches us, reminds us of truth. And so, Lord, I thank you, even when we don't have the words to say, when we don't know how to articulate what we're feeling, when we don't know what's going on in our head and our heart, God, but your word says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for our moaning and our groaning. So even when we don't know what to say, we thank you that we have an intercessor. And not only do we have an intercessor in Holy Spirit, we also have an intercessor in Jesus. For he sits at the right hand of the Father praying for us. God, I pray that we would not lose sight of the significance of Jesus praying for us. Jesus looking at us and covering us, and also giving us the Spirit of God. And so, Father, I think that we are equipped for everything that we're dealing with. Yeah. I know sometimes I can feel like we are in despair, and that we are distracted, and that we are lost. But Father, I think that you've given us everything we need to be able to handle whatever it is that we're going through, and it's in you. And Father, I pray that we would find ourselves so enamored by your love and so overwhelmed by your grace and your mercy that the voices of the enemy begin to be drowned out. And instead, we come to you and we approach life and saying, hey, I'm a daughter of God. I'm a son of God. And as such, there are things that belong to me, that a peace belongs to me, joy belongs to me, that my mind belongs to me, my wellness belongs to me. And so, Lord, I thank you that you speak life, that you did not just come to be born and to die, but you also came to inform how we live. And so thank you for being so gracious. Thank you for walking alongside us. And we thank you that you've given us the Spirit of God that's on the inside of every believer, that we are able to live in a way that honors and pleases you, but also we're able to have the tools necessary to handle our anger, our sadness, all the emotions that come. God, you've given us what we need in order to carry those things, in order to process those things. And so, Lord, I pray that today we would surrender to the process. That understanding that there's something you're teaching us in process and that we're going to be better for. We might not feel it now. We might not see it now, but we just choose to trust you today. And Father, I pray as pray in scripture, God, help our unbelief. Help the moments that we don't trust you. Help the moments that it's hard for us to believe you. God, help our unbelief. Help us to trust you and to see for what you're doing. And Lord, we just say, would you be God in our life? Show off in your power and your display and the supernatural, God, show off in our life. If you're looking for a home, if you're looking for a person to bless and pour out your Spirit, God, we say, we're it. Show off our lives so that you would get all the glory and honor and praise, God. And we pray all these things, believing it is so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, absolutely. Can you share I would just love to hear. I know you just have a lot of exciting stuff, so I want people to be able to find you. I'm going to put all of it in the show notes so people can find your ministry, can find you. But yeah, anything exciting coming up for you that you want people to hear about?
Yeah. So we have, I lead a Bible study on Facebook every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that is on my Facebook page, Brianna Dupree on Facebook, or on Instagram at Brie Dupree _. And then you can keep up to date with what's happening with Brie Dupree Ministries, new courses and all those things at BrieDupreeMinistries.com. So the two best ways to kind of keep in touch with me are through the website, BrieDupreeMinistries.com, and then through Instagram at BrieDupree_. And I am readily available. Hop in those DMs, and I love talking to people. So stay connected.
Yes, amen. And I strongly encourage everybody to go, because she is the real deal, if you haven't already known that in the last hour. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. This has been amazing.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.